Heavenly Father, we want to hear from you. We want you to speak into our heart. We know that every time when you show up, things change around us. And we ask of you for that change. As you speak to us, give us the humility, the willingness to hear your word. Speak to us through your servant. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Today I'm going to speak about a prayer as intercession. And our texts are taken from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And also I'll read it from Genesis 18, verse 16 through 33. But I'm going to start with this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, as it reads, "Therefore, exhort first all of that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." There are many things can be learned from this verse. But today, let us focus on the word intercession. I would like to start with the definition of the word intercession. What is intercession? The English term intercession is derived from the Latin word intercessio, intercedo. That means to come between, come between. But not with the purpose of blocking or separating like a wall, but with a purpose of interceding, acting as a mediator, come between. Jesus is our mediator between us and God. He doesn't block us, but he come between to join us with God. In biblical terms, it means to pray or ask on behalf of others. Pray or ask on behalf of somebody else, others. It is clear in the text we read that prayers and intercession are two different actions. When one prays, he or she just focus on his situation. I repeat, when one prays, he or she he focus on his or her own situation. But when one intercedes, he or she, acting as a mediator through a prayer on behalf of others. Therefore, intercession is a prayer, of course, but prayer which focus on others rather than on the one who prays. An intercessor is one who takes up a burden of somebody that goes far beyond his own or her own needs or intention, but burden of somebody else. Many such intercession prayers are recorded in Scripture. For example, prayer for Abraham. We can see it or read it in Genesis. In Genesis 18, verse 16 through 33. When the men got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on the their way. Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right, and just so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah are so great, and their sins so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I'll know. The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? The Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Then Abraham spoke up again. Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5 people? If I find 45, he said, I'll not destroy it. Once again he spoke to him, what if only 40 are found there? He said, for the sake of the 40, I'll not do it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there? He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Abraham said, now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there? He said, for the sake of 20, I'll not destroy it. Then he said, may the Lord have no angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? He answered, for the sake of 10, I'll not destroy it. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. In the first part of Genesis 18, three heavenly visitors drop in to see Abraham in the land of Canaan. Through them, God repeats his promise of son to be born to Sarah the following year. In the second half of the chapter, the situation stated, it is as irrelevant as today's news about the wickedness of human beings. In concern with wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, a pending judgment of God and intercessory prayer of Abraham. This is a text we read today. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us now reflect on this intercessory prayer of Abraham and its lesson to us. The intercessory prayer of Abraham teaches us various things. First, knowledge of God's plan. In verse 17, we read, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham What am I about to do? Shall I hide? God asks himself. This statement shows that God is going to reveal something to Abraham, and that is what he did. He shared with Abraham his plan to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the wickedness of the people in these cities. This teaches us that intercession prayer starts with knowing what is going on or what is about to happen. But how can we know? How can we know that? In John chapter 1, verse 12, reads, "But to all who did receive him, to those who received in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Therefore, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are God's son or daughter. So, as a child of God, you have a direct access to God, direct access to God, the same as it was to Abraham's time. This incredible access to God is the basis for intercession. Once you are in God's presence, you can now discover his plan for the situation someone is facing or will soon face. It might be your neighbor, your nation, or other nations, your friends, your family members, etc., etc. God will share with you their situation. We will also remember that God has many ways to share his plans. He can speak to us directly, as he did to Abraham, or through dreams, or even people, or through media, and all or like television, radios, or any other kind of media we have nowadays. We should also remember we can discover God's plan by asking. The Bible says in James 1:5, "If any of you need wisdom, you should ask God, and it will be given to you." If any of you need wisdom, you should ask God, and it will be given to you. Therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to know the plan of God for our nations, neighbors, friends, families, and etc., etc., that we can know how to intervene with our prayer. Here in SIC, Stavanger International Church, we have intercessory prayer. Usually, Pastor Joel calls people who need it at the end of Sunday service. Always the service leaders are used to ask for prayer requests. Even today, after my sermon, as Pastor Joel announced already, we'll make it. We'll pray for others. This is the first process of the intercession prayer. By sharing your situation, you reveal to the Sikh International family, to this family, what is going on in your life and the plan of God in your life. I would like to encourage you to always share what you think is going on in your family or in your friend or situation you encounter every day. Share it with this SIC family. Just share it and let the church pray for you. Don't worry and don't bear it by yourself. Through this sharing, the leadership of this family can intervene through intercessory prayers. Remember, there is power of God in the prayer of intercession. Second point, which Abraham intercessor prayer teaches us today is persistence. Our God is righteous and merciful, so he can agree what we are asking and change his plan. Abraham knew this, and then he was reasoning like this. Oh, God, on the other hand, you are a God of justice. You are a God of justice. You cannot lay aside your justice and ignore sins of the wicked. On the other hand, oh God, you are a God of grace. Then Abraham goes even further. God, is not there a way that the righteous of a few may transfer and save many? Amazingly, God is agreeable to that. Abraham prayed in verses 23 and 24, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Verse 26, Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I'll spare the whole place for their sake. Abraham was surprised. But then, realizing that there might not be 50 righteous within the city, then Abraham asked, what if there are only 45 righteous in the city? And God said, yes, you would spare the city if there were 45 righteous people in there. How about 40? Asked Abraham. Yes, said God. Abraham refused to give up. He continued to reduce the number up to 10. And suddenly the prayer ended. You see, Abraham kept going to God for more and more. He was persistent. But someone may say, Abraham did not get what he asked for. It is true that the city was not spared. However, Lot and his family did get out of the city. Lot got out because of Abraham's prayer. You can read it by yourself in Genesis 19, 20-29. It says, so it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, be persistent. When you pray, don't give up. Something can happen. I think you know the abbreviation of the word push. Say push. Push. Again, push.
Push.
Tell your neighbor, push.
Push.
Yeah. P stands for pray. U stands for until. S stands for something. H stands for happen. So, keep on push. Pray until something happens. Let us say it together. Pray until something happens. The last point today, we need to remember that intercessory prayer is all about others. It's not for you. It's for others. Abraham was not praying for his needs. He prayed for the salvation of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. In verse 24, Abraham asked God to spare the cities. Do you know what the word spare means in this context? It means forgive. Forgive. So he asked God to forgive, not to destroy. Now someone may say, of course, Abraham asked God to spare Sodom because his nephew nephew Lot and his family lived there. But that is not what is going on in this text. The reason is that Abraham could simply have asked God to spare Lot and his family, but he did not. In fact, Lot is not even mentioned in this entire chapter. No, not at all. Abraham's intercessor prayer is not just for his relative, but is instead for the entire cities. Abraham has a heart for all the lost and wicked sinners in the city. The letter of James tells us the prayer of the righteous man has great power in its effects. And there is no one more righteous than Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise the Lord. The most powerful intercessor who ever walked on the earth. This Jesus is calling us, call all of us today, to be prayer warriors, to be intercessors. According to first letter of John, chapter 4, verse 4, we have the authority as children of God to pray for others, pushing back the darkness of sin and oppression. In prayer, we have a weapon that has divine power to destroy strongholds. The power of prayer is something God invites us to use as we seek not only personal confirmation, but the transformation of others and the entire world. We should remember that intercessor prayer is warfare. It is a serious battle. When you are going in the prayer, you are going in the serious battle. However, the battleground is not of this world or this earth. The battleground is the spiritual world. Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, we are not fighting against humans. We are fighting against forces and authorities and against rulers of darkness and spiritual powers in the heaven above. And just like soldiers who are preparing for the battle, we must go into battle armed for spiritual conflict. As Christians, our weapons is the word of God, and God is controller of everything. Dear brothers and sisters, let me now share with you briefly a true story of mine. It was 1984 when I was working with the church as an evangelist in a very small town known as Mikumi in Tanzania. This parish of Mikumi was taking care of other sub-parishes, which were located in very remote areas. Those who are coming from Africa or who are raft in Africa knows what I mean when I say remote areas. Therefore, time after time, I used to travel to these remote areas to conduct Sunday services. On one Sunday, it was my duty to minister in one of these sub-parishes in the countryside. And I had to travel about 40 kilometers from Mikumi town, and I had to cross Mikumi National Park to reach this village. As some of you know, Mikumi National Park has many wild animals, including the dangerous animals, lion, tiger, leopards, buffaloes, elephants, and so on. And normally I used parish motorcycle to go to this village. So to cut a long story short, on this particular Sunday, I went to that village and everything went well in the village. After church service around 2 o'clock, I started my journey back to Mikumi town. On the way, I saw five lions laid together about 50 meters from roadside. I stared at them without looking to the other side of the road. And because I was riding a big motorcycle, Honda 250, I was not much afraid. I stopped for a while to see if I could manage to continue. And that was a big mistake I did. On the other side of the road, a big male lion standing very close, about 5 feet from me, where I stand. And I didn't see it until it started to roar. Just imagine. You are looking at other five to six lions over there, but the one who are very dangerous is near to you, next to you. Big eyes, big teeth, big mouth, angry face. I was panicked, really. And I rode my motorcycle like a mad. Yeah. I ran the way. The front tire come up and out because of unconscious, changing of balancing clutch and fuel and gas. So it went up and down. But by God's grace, I managed to escape. Still, I had another challenge, high speed. I couldn't reduce the speed, and the road was very rough. Then I came to the very sharp corner, and I could not manage the corner. Then I had an accident. The motorcycle destroyed, the helmet got in crack, and it got divided into two pieces. Fortunately, I was not injured. That's why you see me today. But I was still stuck in the national park. After a while, a big truck came, and I was helped. Upon arriving home, out of curiosity to know what happened, my pastor came to visit me. And I told him a story of the lion and the accident. And he was really astonished. When he told me the Sunday service, after Sunday service, that he wanted to have a bit rest before fellowship come. So it was around 2 o'clock p.m. But he felt the urge to pray. He said the urging of the Lord was so strong. So he shared it with his wife, and together they prayed for me. From 2 o'clock, the time I left the village, they started to pray for me. And they couldn't stop the prayer until 3:30, the time I was rescued by the truck driver. This means, by the time I was in great danger, God revealed my situation to my pastor, and pastor reacting accordingly through intercessory prayers. Can you imagine how God works for his people? This story is an incredible example of how the Spirit of God moves in mysterious ways and how important the intercessory prayer is. Friends, let us be bold in your intercessory prayer. It is important for the life of others. Let us go to God for the lost people in our cities like Abraham. Let us go to God for the lost people for our families like Abraham. Let us go to God for the needs of the others. May God bless you all as you faithfully pray for one in need. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we thank you for reminding us that we need to pray, not only for ourselves, but also for others. We thank you for the privilege of praying for others. We have been the recipient of others' prayer so often. We understand how powerful intercessory prayer can be. We pray for those who will follow you and keep them influence others for good. Let them be salt and light, pointing others to you. Heal those who are sick in our midst and strengthen each of us, our families, and those closest to us. Lord God, raise up leaders in our countries and churches who will serve you faithful at all costs. May our love for you help us to love and forgive others and make different in our world. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
I'm going to invite us to stand together. Before we move into our time of prayer, we will declare together our affirmation of faith in response to the word. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You can be seated. I'm just going to...